This week's Off the Vine is sponsored by Chinette Brand. Chinette Brand makes premium disposable tableware for all life's gatherings. Visit mychinette.com to find out more. Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place. Geico, go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today, that's geico.com. Lee Fiore, create your everyday fine jewelry collection from dainty to bold. Visit leefiore.com/vine and use the promo code VINE15 to save 15% on all orders. Ring, this holiday season, deck the halls, walls, doors, and windows with the best deals of the year on the award-winning Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/OTV to get a great deal on a Ring Alarm security kit today. OxyClean, work your magic with OxyClean White Revive. Visit myoxyclean.com for cleaning tips and tricks. And Travis Matthew. Visit TravisMatthew.com/radio today for 20% off your next purchase when you use the code VINE20 at checkout. Okay, Vinos, before we jump into today's episode, let's take a minute to talk about one of the best parts of life, and that's gathering with the people that you love. You probably heard me mention before that one of my must-haves when I'm gathering or hosting with anyone is my Chinette brand. Chinette brand is a people-focused brand that offers premium disposable tableware for all of life's gatherings, whether it's a baby shower, happy hour, birthday, holidays coming up. They've been a part of American culture for over 90 years now, providing durable plates, cups, cutlery, napkins, and table covers. So when you're spending time with the people that you love, eating some delicious food and sipping on good drinks, the last thing you want to have to worry about is the cleanup afterwards. And Chinette makes for the easiest cleanup ever, especially if you're the one hosting and cleaning. You also don't want to have to worry about someone shattering or breaking a plate, killing the vibe, party foul, which is why Chinette is perfect to have on hand. Their products are durable. You'll have no bends or leaks. Their Chinette Classic is made in the USA with at least 80% recycled materials. So trust me, you'll love having this next time it comes to spending time with your peeps in your life. Go check it out. Stock up for the holidays. Visit mychinette.com to find out more.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Caitlin Bristow's podcast, Off the Vine. Take it away, Brie.
Wine. Lots of wine.
Hey, B on the mic. Turn it up. Let's go. Hey, Ramen, Pino, ready for the show? Everyone's welcome, so come on in, because OTV is about to begin. Hey.
Welcome to Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow. I have to say, this podcast I've been waiting for a while now, and I'm so excited it's finally happening because I got to hang out, obviously via Zoom, with the one and only Peloton instructor of my dreams and king of quarantine, Cody Rigsby. I've been in love with this human truly, truly ever since I got my Peloton, which was a while back, and he just makes me feel so friggin' happy and motivated and inspired and just really gets me feeling like my best self. So when I found out he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars, I knew it was finally time for us to connect. I had to get this boo of mine on the podcast stat, and we made it happen. We talk about his journey to Peloton, how he danced for Katy Perry, no biggie, what his experience has been like on Dancing with the Stars, which I know will surprise a lot of you because it always seems like he shows up every Monday with a big smile on his face, but it is hard work. And we kind of have just like an hour of therapy together. Forgot we were even podcasting at one point. But the struggle, it can be turned around into motivation that you need to do you. And he knows all about that because of his time being homeless, which we get into as well. But I know you guys are going to love this combo just as much as I did. So here's Cody Rigsby. You look like you're in deep thought over there.
I mean, I was just like looking out through the window, like just like, yeah, I don't know. I was like having a moment. It's still early for me, and I've had a lot to do today, so I haven't even had a moment for Cody Rigsby. So
you need to have a moment for Cody Rigsby. I'm glad if you could get that right there before this. You deserve that. I know what it's like to be full-time dancing every day and doing that, and then the fact that you're doing Peloton on top of that and like living your other lives. I'm like, how does one do that?
Yeah, I question that myself. Yeah, I feel like I have like three full-time jobs right now. I'm doing Dancing with the Stars, I'm doing Peloton, and then I have like all these other like brand partnerships, so like a social media quote-unquote empire to build right now. So yeah. It's definitely a lot, and I guess I didn't know what I was signing up for, but I guess there's a lot more involved than I thought I was getting into, and that's fine. Like, I didn't really set any sort of expectation, but it's been a lot.
Yeah, no, I know. That was the same thing as me. I was looking over the contract and like
obviously they pay good money. And then when I got there, I was like, this is why. This is why. This is a full-time commitment. Like, you get up to like 7 or 8 hours a day of practicing, and it's, you don't get a day off. I mean,
no,
you don't get a day off from dancing. And then on top of that, you're teaching and doing everything. But I mean, I want to start at the beginning, because you're from originally California, but then you grew up in North Carolina.
I was born in Los Angeles. I lived here with my mom until I was about 8. Mm-hmm. And then my mom was kind of like, I don't want to, we're not doing this LA thing anymore. Like, he needs a stable and chill environment. So my godmother and one of my mom's best friend lived in North Carolina, and she was like, let's go there. Like, let's just head out. What, east. There we go. The reverse of heading out west. So yeah. So I grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina, the third largest city in North Carolina, very suburban and Southern.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I'm in Nashville, and Jason's parents, my fiance's parents, live in North Carolina, and it feels very like, it's like a 5-hour drive from here. So it's pretty close. But, and then you moved to New York, and now you've been there for what, 11 years. Do you feel like you're like fully immersed in the New York lifestyle? Like, you're like, I'm a New Yorker now.
Oh yeah. I've been there for 12 years. Oh, 12? In 2009. Yeah. New York is my city. It is my home. It's where I want to be. After I hit that 10-minute mark, I was like, I finally get my, I'm a New Yorker badge. I've been here for 10 years. So like, I am officially a New Yorker.
Yes.
Yeah. It is my city. It feels like home. It's, you know, I just bought a home there. So that's where I see myself, and that's where I want to be. I love the culture. I love waking up and going into a city that I feel pushes me and drives me. There's always like a sense of purpose or a sense of like go when you walk out your door in New York City. Same. And I love that energy. And I don't definitely feel that necessarily here in LA. I'm like, what is everyone doing? Work? Like, you know, like I don't feel that same sense of go urgency. Get it.
Yeah. I totally feel that same. Was that overwhelming when you first moved to New York? Were you like, oh gosh, this is a lot? Or were you like, this is where I'm supposed to be?
You know, I don't like being idle. I sometimes feel uncomfortable being idle and like sitting still, you know, the inner child in me. So that's always felt like home, and like that's always felt like the energy that I want. I just am always wanting to strive for better and do things. So it didn't make me feel uncomfortable. It made me feel more comfortable, and like this is a great place for me.
Yeah, for sure. And before you were everyone's favorite Peloton instructor, like I can't even, I'm like dying that I'm talking to you, because I don't know if you've ever heard through the grapevine what I've said, but I'm like, I know he like obviously is not interested in me, but why am I interested in him? Like, why am I attracted to Cody Rigsby? Like, I get on the bike and I'm like,
I mean, there's no shame in that. I am a man with a penis, and you are a straight woman that is attracted to men with penises. So like, that makes, you know, that makes kind of sense here. You wouldn't be the first one to tell me that. And that's okay. You know, like I'm totally here for everyone expressing what they do and don't like, you know?
I am definitely part of the Boo Crew.
I love that.
But before you were everyone's favorite Peloton instructor, you were a dancer. And I remember when I was on the bike and watching, who's that other one? Emma, you guys used to dance together or something, or do auditions together?
Yeah. Emma was, well, myself, Emma Lovewell, Allie Love, Hannah Marie Corbin were all dancers in our previous life. And we all kind of had this weird thing where it's like, oh, well, I worked with Emma, and then I worked with Allie, and then Allie worked with Hannah, and like all these sort of things where we did work with each other in some capacity. So yeah, we've all lived that dancer lifestyle. And that's something I did that's why I moved to New York. That's what I wanted to do, was perform. And mm-hmm. I worked in the commercial dance space where I did like, you know, backup for Katy Perry and Nicki Minaj. And that's crazy. What I did my training. Yeah, it was a crazy, fun thing for a while. And then I kind of got, well, it's just, as a dancer, you're doing so many things for other people, to make other people look good. And it doesn't really pay the bills very well and in a stable space. Right. So I definitely got into a place that I was like, I didn't want to do that anymore, but I didn't know what my next thing was. Even all that dance training did not prepare me for Dancing with the Stars at all, because it is completely different technique and it is completely different ways of moving my body.
Yeah, I almost said when when I was on Dancing with the Stars, I was like, it's almost harder that I had danced previously because mm-hmm. I had to untrain my brain of certain ways of moving and thinking and stepping and everything and retrain my brain to do it a completely different way. It's so different. It's a whole other beast. And there's a lot of people actually on your season right now that has some dance background. Like Jojo, obviously dancer. So many people are dancers that I am so shook that Mel C went home. I know, like, what, by the time this airs, it's going to be like old news that Sporty Spice went home, but like, I'm still not okay from that. I haven't recovered yet, and I'm still going to need at least 2 to 5 business days.
2 to 5 business days. Okay. Yeah. No, everyone was shooketh from the Mel C elimination. It was hard. Like, the thing is, I always, like, even though it's a competition, I always kind of, like, see everybody in the cast, and, like, everyone's super cool, super friendly, super nice to each other, and I feel like we're all kind of, like, rooting for each other, so you have fun during the show, or, like, you're so consumed by your dance and watching people, and then finally, you're like, Tyra's like, okay, an elimination is up after this commercial, you're like, oh, shit, right, someone's going home tonight, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then you get in your little spot for the elimination and you're just like kind of definitely anxious. And like in my head, I'm like, well, maybe I'm going home, you know, like you never know. Obviously, you never know, seeing that Mel C went home. And then, you know, my name got called kind of early. So I was so grateful for that. I was like, thank God.
That's the best. Yeah.
And then you're sitting back watching the screen in the back and you're like, once it got down to like to 2 or 3. Also, there were some names that got called safe that I was like, oh, they're definitely safe. So where is this go? I was like, if they're safe, then where is this going? I was like,
I felt like I could call it. And then I was like, huh? Well, now what?
Yeah, exactly. And bringing it down to Olivia and Mel C, I was just like, oh, this sucks. Because they've both been doing well. And I'll give you the exclusive. Like, my mom, Cindy Rigsby, loves Olivia. I'm not kidding you. I've had like 15, 20-minute conversations about how much she loves her. She's so cute. She loves the way she dances. She loves the way she performs. I was like, okay, Mom, are you voting for me or are you voting for Olivia? Like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on here. So I will tell you exclusively that my mom is happy that Olivia is still in the competition. But yeah, I got down to those two and I was like, this is a hard decision. And, you know, wow. It was definitely a stunt.
All right, listeners, most people know that Apartments.com is the most popular place to find a place, and that's because Apartments.com has the most rental listings and the most ways to find them, all thanks to some of the most powerful tools like 3D virtual tours. Yes, you guys can literally tour a house from bed. I've definitely done it, and it's pretty much the best. So you'll most likely find your most right place, which most everyone would agree is good news. Unless you're part of a most peculiar minority of people who prefer to have less than most. Make the most obvious move for your next move and use Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place.
Vinos, do you own or rent your own home? I'm sure you do. I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy. Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
All right, Vinos, quick break to talk about something I know a lot of you that are listening right now love, and that's jewelry. Specifically, Le Fiore Fine Jewelry, which helps you create jewelry your way. So when you visit LeFiore.com, you will get a unique jewelry design experience with so many styles to choose from. You can customize your choice of silver or gold with a wide selection of ethically sourced gemstones and even lab diamonds. Their everyday jewelry just really completes any outfit for a look that's unique to you. They have everything from personalized jewelry to alternative engagement rings, and there really is something for everyone, including every style and budget. That's because they make your jewelry themselves in Toronto, Canada. Shout out to the homeland. And there are no middlemen or pricey markups. Plus, you get your jewelry in days, not weeks. They have you covered with free shipping, free resizing, so convenient, and 1-year manufacturer's warranty, and even extended warranty plans.
Also, if you don't love your jewelry, they have a 99-day return policy. So create your everyday fine jewelry collection from dainty to bold by visiting leafiori.com/vine. You can build your fine jewelry collection one piece at a time or take advantage of Lee Fiori's multi-item discount. Visit leafiori.com/vine and use the promo code VINE15 to save 15% on all orders. That's leefiori.com/vine.
Your boo crew is like showing up for you. Like, it's so, I love, because, you know, Dancing with the Stars can be anyone from like your favorite Peloton instructor to like a Spice Girl to an athlete. Like it, there's so many different stars that come in, but it really does count on voting. And of course, like people want to see people doing well.
Yeah.
But it's the fans and your crew that is really, you know, throwing in all the votes. And I look at these things where like comments under Dance with the Stars posts that like, who are you rooting for? Uh-huh. You've got a big team of people rooting for you on the show, which is so awesome and so exciting. And has it like, have you realized just how powerful the Peloton bike is in your community from being on the show?
You know, I think I knew the power of the Peloton community. And I think I am so honored and just like so grateful for everyone's support. Putting aside just like the Peloton community, I think there is value in creating community in general. I think
we
don't put enough emphasis or enough investment in the people in our lives, even if it's just people, your neighbors or, you know, small communities that you're building in whatever, you know, hobbies you have or anything that interests you. The community is so important. And I think it's so evident in this situation because, listen, like, I've had a rough go at this. Like, I've had COVID during Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. I had to be quarantined from my partner for almost 10 days, which means we were rehearsing on Zoom calls for 2 separate weeks for 3 separate dances via Zoom. So, like, we were missing that connection. So it's been a rough go at it. And I think also my scores should be a little bit higher than what I've been given, but that's that. So that's another factor that's going against me, but I'm trying not to add that up. But what my point here is that even though it's been a rough go and maybe some people think that I should have been in the bottom for some of these eliminations, the investment that I've made in building community and being a cheerleader in other people's lives has come back to me tenfold by the community that I'm a part of and the community that I've built supporting me at like a downtime or in really vulnerable spaces. And so that is just what I'm in awe of. And what I just can attest to is that like community is so important. And, you know, this is just a big picture, but the more that you invest in the people in your lives, when you're down or when you're having a hard time, they're going to be there for you. You know, like the Peloton community came to the doorstep with a digital potato casserole when I was sick, you know, or chicken noodle soup for when I was down. So, you know, that's just so endearing and so sweet.
You get so vulnerable on the bike and people like, you know, you guys probably talk about this all the time. The fact that people are at home stuck or away from their jobs or like going through a hard time in life, but any phase that they're in, they get on that bike and they can escape, and you are their escape for however long that they take a class for. And you really are there for people in their lowest points and their highest points, like wherever they're at in life, you are there for them, even if you can't see their faces. And I agree with you completely on the community thing. That's why I love doing live podcasts, to actually see the faces of the community that we've built and like hug people and look at them face to face and have that intimate conversation, being like, you hear me every day and now I get to see your face, and you realize the impact that you can have. And I know you've been with Peloton for what, 7 years? You were like one of the earliest instructors, no?
Yeah, it's 7 years. And it's, I mean, I know it's blown up in the past like probably 2, but we've created that community, that foundation before, you know, we obviously weren't, but there's a pandemic coming, but like, we set ourselves up for success by creating an authentic community And then this happened. And so then that community came together, especially in a really rough time. And that community grew and people saw the power of not only moving your body and sweating, but also rooting for each other. Like that became a place where people were like, oh, I have Peloton friends. And, you know, we're riding together, but we're also like sharing our struggles and our victories and our successes together. So that's, you know, it's so important. And it's so evident in this Dancing with the Stars experience for me.
Yeah, it really comes through. Like I feel like I love how vulnerable people, even the instructors, can be on the bike, because it makes you feel less alone. It's nice to see that, like, you're keeping us going, but at the same time, like, without you even realizing it, we're also keeping you going. And I feel like everyone's holding each other accountable to just show up and still be going through a hard time, still have, like, you want to cry, or sometimes I do cry on the bike. Sometimes that's where I get all of my emotions out. Is that, yeah, I love how open you've been about, you know, everything from your personal life to experience. You talked about experiencing homelessness at one point on the bike. Mm-hmm. How important is it for you to be that open and share these stories? And how did that happen? Like, how did you stay motivated during a time of finding yourself homeless to keep going?
I think vulnerability is really important because of the power, you know, the power that I have and the position that I hold with a lot of different eyes on me. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many different stories. There's so many different stories that I want to share so people don't feel like they're alone in these situations. If it comes to, you know, homelessness or poverty, or if it's dealing with sexual orientation, or, you know, struggles with mental health, whatever it is that you are maybe going through. If I can share my story of those things that I went through or struggle with, then you feel like, A, you're not alone, and B, there's someone who has overcome it or found a solution to it. So I think that's really important. More about, like, my experience with homelessness, it actually, you know, it happened a few times in my life. When I was a kid, you know, my mom was a single parent. She was a waitress. She also, like, battled addiction. So there was a lot of instability in my home life growing up. And I just remember times where my mom couldn't make the ends meet and couldn't pay for bills. And that meant, like, getting evicted from our apartment. And I remember having to stay with friends and their houses, or sometimes we were, like, sleeping in motels because we had nowhere else to go. You know, thankfully it was never a thing where I was, like, sleeping in the streets or sleeping in a car. But homelessness is experienced completely different for a lot of different people. You know, you don't have to be in a tent on the street to be experiencing that. It's completely different for a lot of different people. And then there was, you know, even a point in college where I didn't have any, like, I was in the dorms, and then it was, like, holiday. And even though my mom lived in Greensboro, there was no space for me where she was living, and I didn't have anywhere to go. So I had to, like, stay with a friend during holiday break, because I had nowhere else to go. And then even in New York City, there was a point in my life where I didn't have an apartment. So I was, you know, staying with friends on their couches for, like, two or three months because I was in a transitional space. And so, you know, especially as an adult, I think more so, and even in college, I always see even, like, the experience with homelessness as a child, like, I always see those low points or those moments of struggle as motivation of being like, okay, I've experienced this. I don't want to do this again, or I don't want to feel this again. So what can I control, and what solutions can I find in this moment to just get me a step closer to being out of that situation, but also, you know, starting that momentum towards never being in this place ever again. Mm-hmm. I think this is applicable to a lot of different things. We move away from feeling uncomfortable. We move away from feeling shame or guilt. And sometimes I think it's better to sit in it and experience it so that you can process it, and then you can use that as motivation to find a solution. Or, you know, you're not bringing that trauma or sadness or anger into your personal relationships, or having those as hurdles towards your personal and professional growth.
Yep. Yeah. I love everything you just said, because I'm the same way. I just think it's so important, like you said, to sit in it. and to process, because I just went to this motivational speaker 2 days ago who was talking about pretty much like failure and buried goals and how people are just like, well, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. And that all of a sudden they're 75 and they're like, what did I do? Yeah. And then there's the people that are too afraid of failure where they'll just allow themselves to keep staying, you know, in that same place because they're too afraid to go after something where they, cause they're afraid of failure. Where I'm going to try and do this justice for what he said, because it was mm-hmm. really important. But he was saying basically he got told no so many times for so many different things, but he only needed that one yes. But so many people yeah. will stop after no, cause they're embarrassed or they're like, think that of themselves as a failure, but it's always an opportunity to grow from something or take that next step or use it as a challenge to keep going, because you can either look back on something and say, I failed because I didn't even try, or I failed because I tried so hard and I learned something from it.
Yeah.
And I think you probably took all of those opportunities or those situations and turned them into opportunities for yourself. And I mean, look where it got you. And you just purchased a home in New York and you're on Dancing with the Stars and you're the best Peloton instructor. And it must be just so humbling at the same time. But what was that feeling when you purchased your home in New York?
You know, the process of buying a home is like adulting to the max. It is yeah. so stressful. You're like, why do you need all this paperwork? What's going on? Like, it is yeah. a process and stressful because it's also negotiation. Yeah. But, you know, once all of that stress and once it all like kind of cleared, because I was just like so consumed by it, like I didn't even get to like enjoy the process or like even have that aha moment until I got like the keys and I was in the apartment yeah. and it was empty. And I was just like, oh my, like, wow, this is like, I'm kind of getting goosebumps even just like talking about it and reliving yeah. that, like that feeling of just like, wow, like I am, I'm not saying shock, but I'm just like
it's
overwhelmed
surreal.
With like, yeah, surreal joy, almost a moment of like, reflection. I don't want to say sadness, but just so you kind of like think about your life
emotion.
and where yeah, it's just emotion. And I definitely had a moment and like cried a little bit just because yeah. I know the things that I've kind of been through. And also I see it as a moment of pride, because I think most importantly also is like I think from not having a lot growing up, I also have become like this provider in a sense. I've stepped into that truth, like, especially when it comes to my mom. Mm-hmm. So I recently moved my mom. Well, not even recently, like 2 years ago, I moved my mom to New Jersey, and then I moved her to Brooklyn so that she could be closer and that I could take care of her because she's wow. diabetic. Mm-hmm. There's mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So I just want to provide for her. And I know that she's had a lot of anxiety about that. She hasn't worked in like 10 years, is yeah. on disability, stuff like that. So I just want, you know, as our parents get older, we never know how much more time we have left with them and how much more life they have to live. And so my goal was really to just be able to provide a fulfilling and happy life for my mom. And yes. so I think even in that moment of buying a home, I felt like my strength as a provider and my foundation as a provider just got stronger. And so that yeah. gave me more security and more, more security in myself, but also more security in my ability to provide for, you know, my family and the family yeah. that I'm gonna, you know, create, you know, via like, you know, what goes on with my boyfriend. Like, hopefully that will become something in the chosen right. family of friends that I've created in New York City. I don't know if I'll ever have kids, but you know, that is the sense of family that I've created and the role of provider that I've kind of taken on for me and my mom. So I think that's what gave me a lot of security, a lot of joy. Just like, okay, this is one step closer to having that security that I can provide for the person that I love.
Yeah. And that the steps that it took to get there and just the appreciation you can probably have. And I love stories like that where, you know, your mom worked different jobs and she just wanted to try and provide for you. And now you are able to provide for her and she just must be so incredibly proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she 100% is. And she, you know, I think it's funny because she like knows what I do, but like, she's kind of older and like, doesn't necessarily get like, okay. Like she doesn't like really understand like the power of Peloton. She's like,
Right.
That's what he does. But she's super proud. She's super proud of me for everything that I've done and accomplished. And I think, you know, I think because she can, she fully understands what Dancing with the Stars is, and she completely understands like it. She, I think this is one of the most proud, like proudest moments she's had. And like, she's so excited for the show, even though she might be, you know, voting once or twice for Olivia Jade. She's also like tuned in like every week and so happy. And she'll like call me either on Tuesdays or Monday nights. And she's like, oh, I'm so happy you're still in it. Like, I'm so proud of you, all this sort of stuff. So it's really great.
Okay, Vinos, let's take a second to talk about Ring. Not the one on my finger, even though I'd like to talk about that, but the one on my door. Everyone knows about the Ring video doorbell, but did you know that Ring also makes an award-winning alarm? Ring Alarm is such a great way to provide safety to you, your family, your loved ones. I know that having this alarm gives me such peace of mind, especially when I'm out of town, which seems to be constant these days. And now that the holidays are coming up, I know a lot of people are going to be traveling, and it's the perfect time to get it set up. It's also more than just security. The Ring alarm protects your home from fire, freeze, and flood, too. And flooding is a real problem here in Nashville. It's not only powerful, but it's affordable, too, and you can easily set it up yourself or use Ring's team to do it for you. And one of my favorite things, it is connected to your phone through the Ring app, so you can get notified if anything is detected. Plus, Ring alarm works seamlessly with all of your other Ring products, like their security cameras, so you can see what's happening both inside and outside your home. This holiday season, deck the halls, walls, doors, and windows with the best deals of the year on the award-winning Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/OTV to get a great deal on a Ring Alarm security kit today. That's ring.com/OTV. Okay, you've probably heard me talk about this brand, and that's because all the men in my life, especially Jason and my dad, are already obsessed with it. That's the greatest thing about it, too. It's all ages stylish. Travis Matthew makes shopping for the men in your life so easy. No more searching for brands that fit right or cover all the bases. From comfortable activewear and polos to elevated button-ups, Travis Matthew has men's lifestyle apparel they will need for every occasion. So whether you're new to Travis Matthew or it's just been a while, you can give your guy the wardrobe update he desperately needs. Just go to travismatthew.com/radio and use promo code VINE20 to get 20% off your first order for polos, hats, shorts, pants, button-ups, t-shirts, you name it. Offering supreme comfort in every aspect of his life, Travis Matthew Apparel features fabric innovations to keep him looking and feeling his best. From t-shirts to performance shorts, Travis Matthew clothing is quick-drying, wrinkle-resistant, super soft, with lightweight stretch and to help guys move seamlessly from work to play. Travis Matthew clothing is designed to achieve a perfect balance between functional comfort and superior style. This really is the perfect gift idea, to be honest, for the holidays, birthdays, or just to surprise them. So what are you waiting for? Head to travismatthew.com/radio and take 20% off your Travis Matthew order at checkout when you use the code VINE20 at TRAVISMATHEW.com/radio.
I mean, you have really had quite the journey on Dancing with the Stars. I had one false positive COVID test and I thought my whole like time was over.
Oh yeah. Because you were last season, correct? Yeah.
Yes.
And oh, yeah, it was, I can only imagine.
We didn't get a live audience. I'm so jealous of that. And it was just so hard. But have you suffered? Okay. First of all, does your whole body hurt or did Peloton really set you up for success there? And have you had any injuries yet?
Oh, no, babe. My body, my body is in shambles. Like, I am so sore all the time. I just had PT this morning. So, you know, I had someone like working on my body. I had it yesterday as well.
Is it Gina?
No, I've got like two guys. I've got like David and Tim who I've gotten through a few of the dancers on the show and they're really great. But I think Gina's the PT on site, isn't she?
Yes,
yeah,
she
so
is.
My calves were on fire and she was like putting all these machines and these goops and these tapes and these things on me on Sunday. But yeah, my body is so sore and honestly, I'm so exhausted when I get home. My days are so packed right now. I get home and like I try to find time to stretch and recover it and like thank God, like, I will say this, I'm a Therabody athlete, so, like, I am going to do a shameless plug right now.
Absolutely.
I have these compression, I have the compression pants, the recovery airs.
Yes.
And even if I cannot stretch or do anything, I will just slide into these boots and I will be on the couch for 30 minutes and I will let it do its work because it helps with, like, blood flow. If that's all I can do, that's all I can do. And I feel like I've accomplished something and that makes, they're amazing. So I was just grateful I was, can do that. But my body isn't, no matter, I feel like I can't recover enough to get me in into the next week.
It's so hard. People do not understand how hard it is on your body and even mentally and physically. Like,
I think it's more so mentally and emotionally that this experience is more draining and challenging than it is physically. It is physically challenging, but more so it's, I think it's more so the emotional and mental toll that it takes on. And I have, I cannot believe that Cheryl Burke has been on this show for 23 seasons, not because she can't do it, but because of the mental and emotional game that this whole experience is. Like, I think of every Monday night and the 2 hours that you're in the show, like, the anxiety you feel, the comparing and contrasting that you're doing in your head to all of the other contestants, even though you're, like, rooting for them and, like, enjoying their numbers, you're still like, oh, well, they got this score and, like, they did this. And, like, so that's going on in your head. Then the judges' feedback and scores are messing with your head. Then elimination time comes and you're, like, up and down. It's like the ups and downs of the emotionals of it all is so draining and so much to combat. Like, I don't think people really understand that. And that's what I was not expecting. Was I knew physically I could show up, but mentally and emotionally, I didn't. It has tested my strength, and I've had a lot of moments of weakness, you know, in my on my own. So
I'm totally sure you can attest you on that. Yeah, it was. I mean, my fiance would be like just genuinely concerned about me at certain points, because I would come home and I would just, like, I couldn't even talk. I was in pain. I was feeling not good enough. Mm-hmm. I was just like the comparison thing. Like you said, it's just everything about it is so draining, and the adrenaline and then the crash and then, like, everything that goes into it. And that is every week. And then it's
every week.
And then you go through that, and then you wake up the next morning, you're like, well, now I have to learn a new dance and go through it all over again, where you question your ability and who you are. And it's like you get these relationships with your partner where they're hard on you in ways that, because they believe in you, but you've never really had that from somebody and worked with somebody so close where they're so hard on you that you start being like, am I worth it? Like, am I worthy of being here?
Yeah, and am I worthy of being here? Can I do it? Are you okay? Like, and I think that's even things where, like, even with Cheryl, like, yeah, they are tough on you, and they're drilling this stuff into you. And it gets to a point where it's almost really challenging not to take it personally. And so I've had to just be like, and after a while, sometimes I shut down. Like, I'm just like, I don't get angry. I don't get pissed. I don't push back like that. Like, that's just not my thing. And any sort of miscommunication I might have, I try to break it down with Cheryl. I'm like, Cheryl, what's your goal here? Cause maybe I'm not getting it, or maybe I'm like I'm misconstruing this and taking it way more personally than I should. Yes. But, you know, like, yeah, it's siloing yourself off in the emotional and mental baggage of a reality competition. Yeah. And then also pairing yourself with someone that you're with constantly and trying to interpret all the things that they're saying and that they're doing and then like trusting them, but also not trying to take it personally. Like, this is a game. And I don't think people really understand that.
It really is. There's so many different, like, angles and different things that you feel. And I remember thinking the same thing. I would cry every single week, and Artem would just be like, here we go. Cause I would just cry. And I would, like, we'd have to sit down and he would be like, what is it? And I'm like, I don't feel good enough. And you make me feel like that's valid for me to feel. Like, it's almost like you're validating my insecurities by being like, yeah, right now you're not good enough. And I'd be like, I don't know how to take it, because same thing. It's like, it's so hard to not take it personally when they're literally like they get it, because they've been doing this for so many years that it's almost maybe frustrating for them that we can't pick it up in the same way. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's incentive for them to go further, and you get to this bond where you, like, just will say whatever you're feeling to each other. But that's really good that you can break down the communication and say, like, I don't want to take it this way, but this is how I am taking it. So let's talk through it. But also, you don't have time to talk through it.
Yeah, it's adult conversations. It's like I said this in another interview. I don't know if I even said it today. Like, it's the quickest, like, long term relationship or marriage that you've ever been into. So like you're thrown into this arranged marriage. There you go. It's like an arranged marriage that you're thrown into, that you're with someone constantly, and it comes with the same ups and downs of any relationship. And you got to sit there and talk like a couple, you know. You can't. And like, I don't like to be confrontational. I try to come through an angle of like solutions. And you know, sometimes you just have to have those marriage conversations and like, okay, what's going on? Like, how can we find a solution? What am I misinterpreting? Like, and you just got to remember that it's like it is rooted in a foundation of love or wanting to be, or rooting for each other in some weird way, not rooting for each other, but love, just because you're met with somebody like such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
really challenging.
It's a challenge. It's so weird. I don't know if you ever got like consumed also by just like the media aspect of it, the social media, and seeing people's tweets or seeing headlines or seeing things that people tag you in, and then them sharing their opinions. And of course, like, you're like, I don't care what like Ralph in like Idaho says about me, but like at the same time I'm like, damn Ralph, why you gotta say that shit about me? I don't fucking know you, like, what the hell.
Ralph will really cut to your core. I know that was really hard for me, because especially I think for people who danced previously, because you probably, I'm not assuming this is how I felt, I didn't feel good enough as a dancer in my dancing career and life, and I didn't feel like I got somewhere enough to be and feel successful, that those feelings all rushed back of things that I had not even like realized had made me so insecure. So then hearing people to be like, I don't know, like say, like judge my ability, or that they always said I had like a smile plastered on my face and I couldn't feel emotion, and like all the, it like got deeper to me than I thought it ever would, because of past insecurities coming back from my past.
Yeah.
And so many things just cut to my core of like, damn, that was rude, or like, that one hurt because you hit me where it hurt. Or it's,
you could just be looking at the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know, things that might not cut so deep on a good day. If you just came from a rehearsal and your dumbass got on Twitter for no reason, and like you saw something that someone said, you're like, I'm just like not strong enough to deal with this or let it pass. Like, so it is hurting a little bit more. So I get that. And those insecurities come back, you know, like I had, you know, some success as a dancer, but there were still things that I didn't get to do. Or I remember all those auditions that I did get cut from, or the feedback that I got that was rough. And so, it does come back, it's all these unprocessed traumas and reliving traumas. Like, it is, it's crazy. And I'm going to be honest, like you're actually just even talking to you about this right now feels like I'm talking to a friend or someone who's also experienced it. So it feels like therapy right now, where I'm like, oh my God, I don't feel crazy. Like, I don't feel stupid and crazy. Like, I'm not the only one who feels all these things. And like,
no, everything you're feeling is so valid. I'm like, I totally understand. All of it. It's so much and it's so overwhelming, but you like almost get addicted to those Monday nights where it's the adrenaline, and it's just like, it's really a roller coaster from Monday to Sunday every single week. It's just so many emotions and feelings and physical like aches and pains. And it's the hardest thing. I thought The Bachelorette was the hardest thing I've ever done. Dancing with the Stars is so much harder in so many different ways. And even the same thing with, like, you know, I thought I could deal with people have hated me and loved me for years and said nasty things on the internet. And I don't know, Dancing with the Stars opened up a whole new crowd of people that were like attacking. And it was just a lot to go through. So yes, everything you're feeling is very valid. And it'll be one of the most rewarding things you've ever done, though, because I mean, just from one, how you dance, and two, the community that you've built, you're obviously going to go a long way. Now, when this podcast episode airs, it's probably going to be a few weeks from now, but who are your predictions for top four in the show, or who's gonna win?
Oh wow, okay, you're gonna do this to me. All right, that's fine.
I like build you up and then I have to take you down.
Yeah. Okay. So I like obviously want to see myself in the finale, and like of course I would love to win, but I'm not gonna say so. I'll say it like that. So definitely I'm gonna give myself a spot in the finale as top four.
Absolutely, you should.
I think like I'd be very surprised if JoJo Siwa was not in that finale as well. Yeah. I think we all see that.
Yeah.
I also actually do see The Miz somewhere in the top four.
Very entertaining. Yeah.
I think he's really entertaining, and I think he's been pretty successful at like sharing his stories. And I think he just has like an energy that has like gravitas in this situation. I think it's also endearing to see this guy that probably plays like all these macho characters kind of like being a little bit more vulnerable and fun and silly. So I do see that for him as well. And then I guess that like the final spot. I guess Amanda, just because she's also like super talented and she has a great story, and that could happen. I also could see that also happening as a stunt gag wild card that like something happens to her along the way too that might not get her there, but you know, I'm just traumatized from the Mel C situation where you see like this talented person, you see this person who's doing great, and then like, wait, what's going on?
So, I know, that's why I kept wanting to call it a rose ceremony. Every elimination ceremony, you're like, it could be me. Like if your name isn't called in that first few, you're like, holy shit, like am I going home? Is it me?
Yeah.
It's so terrifying. But I will say, I was doing a red carpet for the Bachelorette premiere, and they were asking me who I thought would win, and I said you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you're not just saying that right now because I'm here?
I actually was just sitting here trying to find the article where I said it just so I could prove it to you, because I knew you were going to be like, did you really say that? But I will. It was on the carpet. It wasn't on camera. It was a written article.
Got it.
And I said you because you've gone through already so many struggles. I feel like they're hard on you with your scores, which only, by the way, makes people root for you more. Great. You have like a solid community of people that really want to see this for you. And you're fun to watch. Like, I feel like you have the whole package. And if you want a little bit of motivation, there is.
You go. Oh my God. I would love to. I would have that in my bathroom just because that's where everyone's going to see it. But like, love it. Like.
I know. I thought about just bringing it into every room that I'm in. Like if I'm watching TV or if I'm sleeping, like just bringing it with me everywhere so I can always just look at it, because it really is my most prized possession. That is the hardest thing I've ever done.
I bet.
It's like that one trophy just really like solidifies like, I did it. Yeah, like I flex on it like every morning. So
I completely understand, especially after the conversations we've had today. Yeah, no, it would be so awesome to win this. And I'm, you know, I try to take everything one step at a time. So I, you know, we'll get there when we get there. But yeah, this week I think it's going to be a lot of fun for me, and hopefully a little bit more pivotal. I try not to take the scores that too personally, and understand that it's a mechanism of a reality show. So like, I get it. Yeah, I would love to win it, and I'm here for that journey. But most importantly, I just want to like take every step at a time and enjoy as much of this as I can, because I get so lost in it that it's sometimes hard to enjoy. And I was gonna ask you, like, were you nervous at all, like before you would perform, or like, you know. You know, when would it hit you? Because I feel like there's the camera blocking on Sunday where you finally get to go on stage. And then there's the two runs and the rehearsal the day of. And I feel like the dress rehearsal is where I would start to get anxious. And then the performance is where I really have to fight it. I have to just be like, I have to like fight all the anxiety. And honestly, someone who was really good at communicating that, or I was really good at talking about the anxiety of it, was Mel C. She would be like, here comes the fear. I remember her like one night was like, here comes the fear. It was like a few times before she was going to perform, because we were performing actually quite close to each other a lot. And she'd be like, here comes the fear. I was like, oh my God, me too. So if like a Spice Girl's feeling it, then I don't feel so crazy. So I wonder what your perspective on that is.
It brings me right back to that feeling, because I would have such bad anxiety. And the night before, so on Sunday nights, I would literally go home. And before I got a spray tan, I would lay in the shower in the fetal position and I would just let hot water run over me and I would manifest everything. I would picture what Derek was going to say, I would picture what everyone was going to say. I would picture my scores. I would go through the dance and I would just like smell the ballroom and I would just like go through everything laying in this position. And I would be so nervous that I would like take 3 melatonins to sleep and I'd be like trying to get a good rest. And that Monday I would truly, you could probably ask a lot of people on set there how many times I would need to like ask them to go use a bathroom in the building because I would literally need to shit my pants from nerves every Monday night. And Artem would be like, you need to calm down. And I'd be like, because every single week I would feel like my dance wasn't where I needed to be until every the moment that we're like, okay, this is the one. I'd be like, okay, I think I got it now. It was like every time I didn't feel confident in it until that last run through out in the hallway before you go out on stage.
Yep.
I was like, okay, I feel good. But then it was like that, you know, it's live television. So you're like, I could just slip. I could make one wrong move. I could get in my head and my anxiety would just build and build to the point where I truly felt sick to my stomach before every single rehearsal.
Yeah, no. So thank you for sharing that because then I don't feel so crazy. And I know it's a shared experience that, and someone who can, if you had all these feelings and all these same experiences, you could pull this off and win that mirror ball, then like, great, fantastic. It's all part of the journey. I know it's all part of the journey. It's just sometimes hard to feel that in the moment or believe that in the moment. And I'm glad you shared that perspective. And I think that's applicable to, obviously not everyone's on the Instagram stars, but like we all go through these moments where we feel like we're not good enough, that we're not prepared enough. And that, you know, my philosophy on that a lot of times is like, you got to trust yourself because you've been in your life for I've been in my life for 34 years in my body and everything that I've been faced with 100% of it, I have overcome or found a solution to or moved on from, even if I failed at it.
Yep.
So I'm here standing alive and I'm fine, you know, otherwise if I, you know, that's how it is. So you gotta trust your ability to find those solutions and show up and get it done.
Yeah. Cause you've proved it to yourself so many times. So you know, you can do it again and again and again, and you always surprise yourself. And that's what I kept doing every week. I'd be like, I don't know how I'm going to do this again. I don't know how I'm going to get through another week. Cause it truly does get harder and harder, but it gets more and more rewarding. And you just, all of your hard work pays off so much that at the end of that Monday, when you are like, okay, I'm still here. You're like kind of a little bit, you had that little bit of like recharging to be like, let's go again. And then you just do it. And then by the end, I truly was like, if I never step foot on a dance floor again, I'm fine. And then like a week later, I was like, I miss it so much. Like you will miss it. So it's good that you know to be aware of like enjoying the process. Enjoy it. Like I had rib injuries so bad that I couldn't breathe. My ankle was torn up and I would like I would try and enjoy the pain and be like, you are such a warrior, Caitlin. Like it was,
oh my God, these rib injuries. There's another person on the cast who's been dealing with like rib situations. I don't want to spill their tea because that's not my business, but like, there's somebody like, I was just like, your rib, girl? Like I didn't, okay, oh. Shit. I didn't know that was happening, but she still got through a dance. So I was like,
the
wow,
ribs congrats. Are usually the first to be injured because your body just isn't used to like throwing it like that. I had tendonitis. I like almost couldn't dance one time. It's so hard. People are probably like, they don't understand listening, but it's nice to give them the background and inside scoop because it just like it kind of like, you want people to know how hard you're working for this because it's one of the craziest experiences.
The feedback is so personal, or sometimes you take things such a certain way, either from your partner or from the judges. Yeah. And then you're just like, girl, you don't know how hard I've been working. You don't know how much like I've been putting into this. Like my blood, sweat, and tears, my ankles are everything. Killing me. My calves are on fire. Like what? And you know, it's there. Everyone feels that way. So.
Yeah. And how has it been with your boyfriend? Is he there with you? Is he able to be in the audience, or like, is it hard on the relationship? Because that's a lot of time being away.
it is a lot of time of being away, and I'm very, and you know, me and my boyfriend see each other probably like 5 times a week. We don't live together yet, but you know, we're in a 3-year relationship. We see each other quite frequently in our day-to-day life. And so this has been a big amount of distance, but I think it is making our relationship stronger just because we miss each other, and it's okay to be apart, but it was great. He was here last weekend, and honestly, it was probably like the perfect timing for it, because having him here like just made me feel really loved and supported, and just like I could feel all the feels of just feeling like taken care of, like just holding you know. And he was in the audience last week for Grease Week with my friend Andrew Chappelle, and I thought I was gonna be really nervous that he was there. Like, I thought it was gonna be a distraction, and I thought it was gonna create more anxiety for me. But in all honesty, there was like this moment, right, you know, that the little like bumper before they show the intro, the video package. I had like, Cheryl was like, babe, it's not that deep. You're not dancing for your life. Just like have fun. And I was like, okay, great. And then I was like, and then I thought about Andreas, and I was like, oh, Andreas is here. And like, instead of feeling anxious, I felt the opposite. I was like, oh, my boyfriend's here. He's so like loving and supporting. And like, I feel really safe right now because he's here. That's so
really nice.
I felt really good about that. And he's going to come back. Not even though this Monday is the Halloween episode, Andreas is coming actual Halloween weekend. So I'll see him in like 10 days or something like that.
Oh, that's so nice. It's so nice when you can have like a solid foundation with your partner of like 3 years and then feel supported during this instead of the opposite. That's so nice. Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that, because that can be really hard on relationships. And I can't let you go without getting a confession from you. Something you want to get off your chest, something embarrassing. I could tell you embarrassing ones from dancing. So you share anything. It doesn't have to be from dancing.
I was told to come prepared with an embarrassing story, and I don't think I've ever shared this. So you're going to another exclusive. There was a pride parade like a few years ago, where obviously like me and my friends, they changed the parade route this year, so it was going down a different way. And I love being in the parade, and because it's so much fun. But this year, I hadn't found a way to be in the parade, so we kind of like snuck in, and we were like obviously on a few drinks and like twirling down the street. And I literally go to my friend, I'm like, "Hey, girl, like take a video for me. I'm gonna like run and do something fun." And literally, like I'm running down Fifth Avenue or Sixth Avenue, and like I think someone left a bottle in the street, and I land on the ground in front of everybody in this parade like a dumb ass. And so there is video footage of it on my phone. I'm never showing it. No, oh my god, it's like a prized possession. Like, this is going nowhere. I should probably just delete it, but
I'm gonna somehow convince you. I'll be like at this point, I feel like I've just, you know, we've shared everything together. You might as well just share it with me, and then we can use it for a clip on Off the Vine. I'm just kidding. We'll work
on that. But I'll
butter you up a little more.
I went down like Scarlett takes a tumble, like down. And I thought I was doing something cute too. And I was just like,
But that's so funny. That's relatable shit. We love to see it.
I know. We'll get there.
Okay, last question. Last question I'm going to ask you is the best part about your relationship with Cheryl and the hardest part about Dancing with the Stars.
Best part of my relationship with Cheryl is I always love like vulnerable people. And I think that both of us are very vulnerable, maybe even to a fault. So I'm glad that I really love that we can be vulnerable with each other, even in our moments of miscommunication. And even in our moments where we might butt heads, we can be vulnerable with each other. And we are in tune with our vulnerability and our thoughts enough to be adults and come to the table with like conversations instead of yelling at each other or being mad at each other, like coming off in this negative space. So I love that we are vulnerable and that we know and we can communicate like adults. And that she's just like, I see her dealing with the anxiety of this show all the time as well. Like, even as a pro that's done it for 23 years, I can see the anxiety pop up in her head. And like I said earlier, like, I can't believe that she did this for 23 years because it is such a game and it is such an up and down. Yeah. Like, I can't believe you've dealt with that. And she's also had a lot of, you know, people have talked about her weight and her size and all these sort of things in the media and like how horrible that is. And she's also experiencing this show for the first time over the past 3 years as a sober person. Learning how to combat that in different ways is so admirable. And she's moving into a new space of dealing with it. So I'm always like, her being a cheerleader and having like the right words to say has also meant the world. Like I said, like being so anxious last week and just being like, hey babe, it's not that deep. Like, you got this, go have fun. And that having that strength has been, meant the world in this process.
That's huge. I'm not even going to end it on the negative note of the hardest day. I like that. We're going to end it there. Cause that was really nice. And also, I mean, tell people, I'm sure everybody follows you, but tell everyone where they can find you or when you're on the Peloton or whatever you want to share with everyone.
Yeah. You know, you can join, you can follow me on Instagram at Cody Rigsby, on TikTok as well. Not really there as much as I should be because I feel like such a old person, but I think it's Cody underscore Rigsby. And then, join me on a Peloton class. You don't have to have a bike. You can download the app to your phone. We can do meditation. We can do arms classes. We can do strength. You can use it, you know, you can take cycling classes and bike bootcamp classes on non-Peloton bikes as well. And I think the app is free for 30 days. So if you've never used it, come on down and let's sweat together, you know? And I'm doing, for any Peloton members who haven't yet, be sure to take some of my live from LA classes. We've built a makeshift studio here in Pasadena, so I'm still doing some content while I'm here.
Nice. And what do people text on Monday nights to vote for
you? Very good. Very good. There we go. Good plug. You text Cody to 21523. You can text 10 times. Don't yell at me if you get charged for any text messages because rates may apply. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, but don't tell people that. Just leave that.
There we go. There we go. Okay, there it is.
Oh, it was so good talking to you. I was really looking forward to this, and it was just such a nice conversation. And I'm going to leave this just feeling a little bit lighter today.
Good. I appreciate it. I feel the same. Like I said, this was free therapy for an hour. So thank you. Don't send me a Venmo request.
I will not. I will only ask you for your embarrassing video, and that is it.
There you go. All right. Well, let me go find it. I'll send it over. Okay.
Okay. I hope you get some rest and just take it all in and you've got this.
Thank you, babe. Thank you so much.
I'm Caitlin Bristow. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Alrighty, I'm no magician over here, but lately I've been feeling like one when I do my laundry because I've been using OxiClean White Revive Laundry Whitener and Stain Remover, and let me tell you, it really does work like magic. I've just been organizing my closet for fall and winter because I know the colder weather is coming soon, and I've definitely found a couple of items that need to be brought back to life, and that is where OxiClean White Revive comes in. Okay, so I have to explain to you why it really does seem like magic. OxiClean White Revive has 40% more whitening power than chlorine bleach per load, so without any of the negatives of chlorine bleach, so you can revive those dingy whites in time for fall, bringing them back to brilliant and bright, and it's safe on colors too. I had a white shirt that I actually thought was heading straight into the trash, but I soaked it overnight and it really did come back to life. And this is just going to be such a game changer for the next time I stain something too, which, let's face it, is inevitable. It can be a mess sometimes, okay? So work your magic with OxiClean White Revive. Visit myoxiclean.com for cleaning tips and tricks.